Would you like to receive written broadcast transcripts of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever? Become a monthly $25 contributor or an annual $250 donor, and we'll send you a flash drive of broadcast transcripts upon the completion of a book of the Bible. Learn how to subscribe at thewordendures.org/transcripts. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The Greek word repent literally runs with change of mind, or better, change of mindset. You need to get your thinker on straight. It's all messed up.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Well, greetings, people loved by God. You remember last time that word reaches Egypt of Herod the Great's death. And just as at every step along his journey since the incarnation began, Joseph again received directions in a dream from an angel. He's instructed to take the child and his mother, remember, not your son and wife, and go to the land of Israel. Land of Israel is only used there in the New Testament, and it would be a generic term for the whole area of Palestine that Israel had received as her own inheritance as distributed by Joshua. The point being that the instruction is vague beyond go back home. Joseph clearly thought that meant go back to Bethlehem because of the prophecy of Micah, but remember, there were also the words from Isaiah to consider about Galilee and the light that shone there. So Joseph, hearing that Herod the Great's brutal son Archelaus was now king in Judah, was afraid to head back to Bethlehem and indeed receives word, again in a dream, presumably from the same angel, to head north to Nazareth. Finally, remember that Matthew doesn't say that this fulfills a saying of the prophet, but of the prophets, and it probably is a reference to the fact that the Messiah was destined to experience scorn in coming from a no-name town, not even mentioned in the sacred writings of the Old Testament. Moving on, the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter beginning at the first verse. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. St. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, you ready to dig into this new chapter? Let's do it. Verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Well, we want to ask, in what days, St. Matthew? It's not a very helpful time reference. The last event we had in world history was the death of Herod and the accession of Archelaus. He ended up being deposed and exiled about 6 AD, and we're actually picking up in the story some 23 years after that event, and so about 30 years after the flight to Egypt. Only St. Luke fills you in on anything that took place between the birth and this moment. He gives you the account of the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. St. Mark, of course, quite literally picks up his gospel with the announcement that John the Baptist arrives on the scene in fulfillment of the words of Malachi and Isaiah. And St. John similarly skips from the Word becoming flesh to the ministry of the Baptist. John the Baptist is simply huge in the New Testament as forerunner of the Messiah. And so his ministry starts with preaching. And the word used there is charison. It has the overtones of the herald of the king, announcing the arrival of the coming king. He's like the dude with the trumpet that sounds and cries, "Hear ye, hear ye!" But why out in the wilderness? There's a suggestion there that Israel needs to start over again. She needs a new beginning. She was formed as a people by passing through the Red Sea and enduring time in the wilderness. John basically says by his message and his location, folks, you need a do-over. That last one didn't take. And remember, when you hear wilderness, this is not the beautiful Wild West of America. It was the desert, rocky, sandy kind of place that you find in the Middle East. Verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is John's message in a nutshell. If you play with etymologies, which isn't usually a good idea, but it does kind of work here, the Greek word repent literally runs with change of mind, or better, change of mindset. You need to get your thinker on straight. It's all messed up. The Hebrew term is actually along the lines of turnaround. It implies, whoa, you're headed in the wrong direction, not that way, this way. And both mesh nicely together when you think about what John was sent to announce. All y'all repent, because the kingdom of heaven, which is St. Matthew's circumlocution for avoiding God's name, the kingdom of God, is at hand. Even more vivid in the Greek, which puts the near or at hand up front, right next to repent, y'all. In the Small Cod Articles, one of the confessions of the Lutheran Church, the great reformer Martin Luther describes John's message in all its radicalness. But here comes the fiery angel of St. John, the true preacher of repentance. With one bolt of lightning, he hurls to the ground both those selling and those buying works. He says, repent. Now, one group imagines, why, we have repented. And the other says, we need no repentance. And John says, repent, both of you. You false penitents and you false saints, both of you need the forgiveness of sins. Neither of you know what sin really is, much less your duty to repent of it and shun it. Ouch. But that's the point. St. John the Baptist announces to everyone, you need to repent. No one can exclude themselves. The kingdom of heaven is near, John says. And that's, of course, because the king of the kingdom is now among us. John's got the job of pointing him out and getting the people ready to welcome him. But no one can welcome this king, our Jesus, who wants to preserve their status quo. With Jesus, everything gets turned topsy-turvy because the status quo of this world and its pretended independence from the Lord of creation is hopelessly messed up. Repent. Verse 3. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It's Isaiah 40 being cited there, but remember that all of our modern punctuation marks, they are very late editorial additions. So most of your Old Testaments will read that the voice cries that it's in the wilderness that the way of the Lord is to be prepared. There his paths are to be made straight. Matthew reads it with in the wilderness being not the location of the way of the Lord and his paths, but the location of the voice that cries out. The citation from Isaiah in this verse indicates that not only does Jesus come in fulfillment of the Old Testament, but also the figures around him are foretold as well. If the ancient Jews in exile might have heard the prophecy as an announcement of their impending homecoming, certainly when they arrived home and saw the crumbled mess that once had been their capital city, and when they rebuilt a rather modest temple and wept over the memories of the grand one they had lost, they must have known, this is only a partial fulfillment of what Isaiah promised. There will come another, and he will prepare us to welcome the actual king and the kingdom that has no end. Verse 4. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Remember that St. Mark began his gospel with an allusion to both Malachi and to Isaiah. And in a not-so-subtle way, so does St. Matthew right here, because John is outfitted in terms very similar to how Elijah was described in the Old Testament. Remember? He said to them, "What kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?" They answered him, "He wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather around his waist." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." 2 Kings 1:8. So here was a man who scorned the little luxuries that we pack around ourselves. Here was a man who embraced what can only be called a life of asceticism. So fixed was he upon what God sent him to announce and prepare for, and so little care had he for the things of this world. And of course, Jesus himself will later tell the disciples in this gospel that John is the Elijah that Malachi foretold in his 4th chapter, who would come before the Messiah. As for the locusts and the wild honey, let's just hope that the wild honey made the locusts a little more palatable. Verse 5, "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Here you get a sense of how much the people longed for the arrival of the king with his kingdom. When John announces, "Folks, it's near, it's at hand," they stream to him. They come from the capital city. They come from the whole region of Judea. We will hear before the chapter is out that they come even from faraway Galilee. And the way to prepare for the kingdom of God that is breaking in upon them is to make a confession of their sins, to get into the water with John and let him baptize you, and to own up to the mess that is your life, both inside and out, to admit publicly that you do need a new beginning, that you need a new thinker, and to turn around from the way you've been walking away from God and begin walking to him. So don't miss that it's a sinner's baptism that John is offering to God's chosen. Instead of proudly saying, "We have circumcision, we have the law, we don't need anything you might offer," the people knew when he began preaching that they were in no way prepared to come face to face with the king and his majesty, and so they flocked to John. Now, every year, John steps out before the eyes of the church during the days of Advent, and his preaching sounds again. "We are called to prepare to meet the king who comes to us, the king who came as a little baby to destroy our enemies, the king who comes to us even now in his means of grace and the gospel preached and in the sacraments received, and the king who will most certainly come again when the day of grace draws to its close, and he will usher in the judgment." Advent as a season reminds Christians that it's always time to hear the preaching of the Baptist and to prepare for the arrival of the King. Here's how we sing it in one of our great Advent hymns. "Prepare the way before him. Prepare for him the best. Cast out what would offend him, this great, this heavenly guest. Make straight, make plain the way, the lowly valley raising, the heights of pride abasing, his path all even lay. The humble heart and lowly, God raises up on high. Beneath his feet in terror, the haughty soul must lie. The heart sincere and right, that heeds God's invitation and makes true preparation, it is the Lord's delight." Well, we're going to have to stop there today, people loved by God. But next time, we pick up with more on the ministry of the Baptist. And until then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.